Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Coast to Coast podcast. I'm Joey Powell, your host. You're on the Inside Carolina network of podcasts because we do so much stuff. But this one's pretty special because this is timely. This is meeting importance of the news that's happening today or earlier today. Today we're going to talk about a very, very newsworthy item for UNC basketball fans. I want to bring in our two experts and the guys that usually carry me through this podcast, Sean Moran, Sherrill McMillan. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Rail, you good? Got the fruit snacks?
Yeah, we've been talking about dominoes, and there's finally one. So
finally have a domino here.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of dominoes and games are back on, at least for football. Basketball is going to be here soon. We have a schedule now. Get your gear. Call Johnny T-Shirt. Go to JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Get your UNC gear of choice, whatever you want. They have it. They have it at a good price. They have lots of it. They have different styles. They have different brands. Whatever you need and or want and or can dream of, I promise you Johnny T-Shirt has it. Hit them up, JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Show them some love because they have been supporting Inside Carolina and Inside Carolina content for quite some time. But news of the day, Double D, DeMarco Dunn, officially popped for the Tar Heels and for Roy Williams. Sherrill, what is Roy Williams and what are the Tar Heels getting in a player like DeMarco Dunn?
I think more than anything, they're getting someone who can score, who can shoot. And considering, so turn back the clock a couple of years, and you have the kind of the loaded 2018-19 team with Kobe White and Kenny Williams and Cam Johnson and Luke May and Nasir Little, where scoring wasn't an issue for them. They had so many shooters, but they knew they were going to lose pretty much all five of those guys in one season. And a part of trying to rebuild the roster is obviously you have to have perimeter firepower. And I think they did an okay job with that in the 2019 class. They got Cole Anthony, who's, a home run. But after that, it was pretty much Christian Keeling and Justin Pierce and to some degree Anthony Harris. And so they never replenished that scoring deficit, from that 2018-19 season. I think you saw that in 2020 with who they looked at with Caleb Love and RJ Davis and Walker Kessler and Puff Johnson and Kerwin Walton and De'Ron Sharp, all guys who I think at some point in their college career could give you 20 points in a game. So you saw the concerted effort to add scoring in 2020, and that was continuing on into 2021. They know that more than likely Caleb Love is kind of a one and done player. They're losing Andrew Playtech from the backcourt rotation in this class. And so they needed another guard who could shoot, another guard who could score. And that's pretty much what Dunn gives them. He's kind of a phenomenal story because, this time last year, or I guess last summer, he was living in Arizona and he didn't really have any offers. I think maybe like Grand Valley State was his best offer at the time. And, fast forward a year later and he's got offers, from many ACC schools, Pac-12 schools, and he's picking essentially between Arizona, Vanderbilt, and Carolina and Texas, and, picking UNC. So quite a turnaround, but to circle all the way back, I had to go back to 2018 to explain kind of what they're looking for, but he gives scoring and shooting, and I think that's what they wanted to come in and do.
That's a heck of a dearth of shooting ability, too, that you mentioned, that vacuum that UNC experienced after 2018. Sean, what do you see in a guy like DeMarco Dunn?
I don't know if I have too much to add after Sherrill.
My bad.
He covered it pretty well. I think for Dunn, he was one of the – I can't remember if he was the first or one of the first players to receive an offer kind of during the COVID period. So that sticks out. In terms of, once again, it's another North Carolina product. So you add him to Styles, and now you have really two of the top players in the state. And, you know, third, you have a guy that can shoot. I think we can probably get in. I know we've kind of been debating about his mechanics offline, so we can get into that later. But I think at the very least, when you're getting, especially right now, you have Puff and Harris and Walton, and you don't really know what you're going to get out of those guys. I mean, Harris has been injured. The other two really sub 50 players, so you never really know, you know, how a sub 50 player is going to perform in the first year, let alone over their career. So here you just kind of have another, I'd say, safety option. But I'd say I'm higher on him than most. Just, you know, I was watching a game today, and did he stand out like you would say, hey, you know, that guy is going to Carolina? He didn't in that particular game, but I think there's a lot of things to work with that will make him kind of a good long-term recruit, just in terms of his scoring ability and his size and length. I think are things to me that give him a higher ceiling than, I think, you know, he's rated in the low 80s, 90s. So I think normally in that role, you're not going to get any production. But I think for him, might not be in year one. It could be, but I do think he'll have a decent career to a good career.
All right. So that's a good rundown of who he is as a player, what UNC is getting in him. Rel, you kind of touched on a little bit, but when did he first kind of appear on Roy Williams and the staff's radar? When did it feel like he was kind of getting some momentum to become that type of kid that would get a UNC offer? You mentioned early on when he's out in Arizona, not really scratching the surface, but he shows up in Fayetteville. And, you know, as all things that come out of Fayetteville are top notch.
Yes.
I mean, we're talking about high class human beings, top notch mm-hmm. athletes, brilliant mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. You know, DeMarco gets to Fayetteville, and now all of a sudden he's a big time kid. Talk about that offer process and how he kind of landed on the UNC radar.
Just the magic touch of Cross Creek Mall. You just go there. And, yeah. So so probably in the last fall, I think, is really when he started, maybe not on the UNC radar, but when he started kind of turning heads. He plays at Westover High School, which actually has become a tradition-rich program in Cumberland County over the last decade. And so he had a lot of visibility in a lot of local tournaments. And then, you know, Westover was undefeated. They had already won a state title. And so, you know, I think just over the course of the year, his play really started to get the attention of coaching staffs. And we talked about this earlier in the summer. There are a lot of guys who were on the list of coaches that basically said, hey, we want to see this guy, and maybe he can show us some more during AAU. Like, he's kind of on the radar, for lack of a better phrase. That's really what he was. And I think he was that for Carolina. We actually confirmed that he was for Carolina. And you know, once, you know, the coronavirus happened and restrictions and the moratorium on visits and no AAU and everything canceled, it really went down to film. And Sean and I and Ben and Rob have watched a few Westover games. And I think we saw what they liked in him. And really, you know, we didn't expect them to offer when they did. We thought it was going to be more of, hey, this is Roy Williams, I'm introducing myself, we're going to recruit you. But he got an offer. The first time he talked to Roy Williams, he got an offer. Mm-hmm. And so he was the third offer of the kind of COVID period. So Dontre Styles got offered maybe a week into it, like late March. And then Hunter Salas got offered after that. And then DeMarco Dunn. So he was on the radar last fall. And I think this might have ended up happening anyway had he played well on the AAU circuit. It just kind of took a weird turn to get where, you know, we are now. Because we had people – you know, who across the state who were like, you need to go look at this DeMarco Dunn kid. He's the best player in the state. And that was before I had never heard of him, didn't know who he was. But, you know, Ben had people telling him that. I had people telling me that. And I think that's kind of how his recruitment progressed.
Sean, you remember the first time you heard about DeMarco Dunn, or the first time you saw any video footage of him?
It was definitely after the North Carolina crew did, because all of a sudden, I think Sherelle was sending me full game footage in my inbox telling me to watch it. So and one, you know, watching Westover was pretty impressive, just with their you know, the full court press and trap that they were doing. And initially Dunn, you know, was pretty quiet, then all of a sudden he finished the first half with like 18 points, you know, maybe missed one shot, and really from that point started watching him a little bit more. We were able to watch him a little bit throughout AAU on the Grainy Baller TV feeds whenever they played in South Carolina. So we did get to watch him on the AAU circuit. Now, you would have loved to have seen him on a national circuit. And, you know, I think in high school he shot 45% from three. So is he shooting, you know, 40% or, you know, maybe 38% or higher from three high-level AAU? We won't know. Even though I would have loved to have seen him on that level, but I guess.
Oh, we lost him.
Hello?
You still there?
I'm here.
Oh. All right. We lost you for a second. I thought you were just, what happened was your information just gotten too powerful that it locked up our wireless feed. So that's all right. We got most of what you were saying anyway. Sean, how do you feel like he projects into a...
Right, I'm back.
Oh, you're back now. How do you feel like a player like Dunn projects into the UNC lineup? Like, where do you see him with what they'll have coming back during Dunn's freshman year?
Definitely see him slotting into the shooting guard role. You know, once again, it goes back to how are the players doing this year, the freshmen. But even with that, I still see, you know, definitely Puff. And I still look at Walton as more of a three, even though I know he's a two guard. I just think defensive-wise, I don't think he's as quick maybe to guard a two. I could easily be proven wrong, but I kind of see both of them as wings along with Leakey. So you have a lot of depth at that position, but from the two guard spot, kind of a guy that can come in and hit threes, I definitely think he'll come in, probably not start, but be able to produce right off the bench. You know, once again, if it is RJ Davis at the point guard spot and, you know, maybe it's Harris at the two, if he's healthy, but if not, you can have Dunn come in and he kind of protects Davis on the defensive end a little bit, just with that size and length that he offers versus having another kind of 6 foot, 6 foot one combo guard come in. You know, once again, I'm higher on him than that 90 rating. And I think he will be able to produce early on as a freshman. I think a few key attributes when it comes to shooting, you know, today he gets a pretty good elevation on his jump shot and he has a lot of range. You know, he's very comfortable from the NBA 3-point range. Watching his film, his AAU film from his U16 Under Armour circuit last year, he was short on a lot of his jump shots and he didn't appear to have kind of that upper body strength that he did last year during the season. So I think, you know, that improvement, and hopefully there's some more improvement. And, you know, to sum it all up, I see him slotting in as a two, and I see him making some meaningful contributions off the bench.
Rel, I'm going to come to you in a second, but I know you typically don't like these questions. So, Sean, you always feel like the guy that can humor my simple mind in paralleling one player's game to another. Does anybody jump out at you as a decent comp for DeMarco Dunn right now?
I'm fairly bad at these comps.
See, I think you're good at it, but at, you know, what do I know? I'm just you guys are the experts. I'm just driving the ship.
No, I mean, Sherelle mentioned in the thread today, and I don't think it's a perfect fit from a playing style, but in terms of ranking wise, Kenny Williams, because Kenny was one of, you know, similar size, you know, shooting ability was his main attribute. And once again, kind of an 80, low 80s, 90s type of guy that came in, and he really didn't do much his freshman year, but all of a sudden he's playing and, you know, a 2-year starter. So I think, once again, I talked about, you can go through any of the years of the 24/7 databases, and once you get under that top 50, a lot of guys don't have a, you know, big impact. Sure, there are a few that make it to the NBA, but even on the college level, especially the high major level, a lot of transfers, a lot of, you know, small impact players there. And Kenny Williams made an impact, and I think that's what you'll get from Dunn. So it might not be a perfect, you know, who does he remind you of playing-wise, but in terms of a name that pops into my head in terms of a UNC career.
Cheryl, do you feel like kind of what Sean was saying about guys that are in that, you know, 70, 80 range, at least sub-top 50, you feel like those guys' success is more determined on fit with the program than is anything else? And if so, you know, does that really play with DeMarco here?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's a great observation by you, in that, you know, if you're the, you know, 85th ranked player and you go to a program that doesn't really accentuate your skill set, then you've kind of wasted your time, and then you're going to transfer. You're going to probably end up at a lower level, and then it's going to be tougher for you to reach whatever you know your goals were. Going back to what Sean said, I think Kenny Williams is a perfect example of that. When he I think VCU was like a perfect fit. VCU with Shaka Smart, when he originally committed and signed, was perfect for Kenny Williams. When he reopened, his choices basically came down to Michigan, Virginia, and Carolina. And I think at the time, you know, UNC was going through the stuff with the NCAA. And I think he looked at it and said, well, you know, I can play great defense and I need to go somewhere where I'm going to get open shots. And, you know, if you look at that, it to me, from there, it came down to Michigan and Carolina. And then I think Carolina probably just won because it was a little closer to home and easier for his parents. All that to say, he made a great choice because he started, you know, I think the first 15 or 16 games of his sophomore year with Theo Pinsenhurst, and then he started the rest of his career as a sub 90 player. And the comparison, I wouldn't say comparison. What I was trying to tell people in that thread is that the role that Dunn is going to play is probably going to be very, very similar, in that he's not going to be a primary or really secondary ball handler, but he's still going to be a guard. And with Kenny Williams, he was basically a shooting guard, a true shooting guard who could also play some three. And I think that's what DeMarco Dunn will be for UNC. And I mean, if there's someone he wants to follow, like someone as a guide, I can't think of anyone better than Kenny Williams for that, yeah, for that reason. Their skill sets, they're not terribly dissimilar. The skill sets that they have, I think Dunn is probably, to me, is probably a better overall player in the little bit I've seen of him. But I think, you know, he has a model in front of him of how to win playing time at UNC, and how to become a major contributor. I think he's also seen that they're recruiting big guys pretty well right now. And if that continues, mm-hmm, all they need is one or two people to just sit there wide open on the perimeter and make shots. And if you can do that, you're going to play a lot. And there's a lot that comes with being successful at UNC. It's, you know, it's Carolina. So if you're good at Carolina, it's better than being good at a lot of other places.
I would also remind our listeners and viewers that, you know, when you guys give the, you know, you hearken Kenny Williams a little bit, you know, Kenny Williams, while maybe not a blue chip prospect, was an incredibly reliable player at the end of his career for Roy Williams, from somebody that, you know, when you're watching, you kind of feel like if he's getting an open look, it's going to go. So I love that you guys brought Kenny's name up. Any depth chart thoughts from you, Sherelle, about, you know, where he might slot in a couple of years or what the wings will look like? I know Sean touched on it a little bit.
Yeah, I want to go back to what you just said, though. And the other thing we're talking about, like 80s or 90s, you know, college basketball is about to change. You know, some people will say from the better, some people will say from the worse. It depends on what side you're on. I don't think there's really anybody in the middle. But a top, you know, 80 player, you know, in a couple of years is going to be more like a top 50 player. And a right. top 50 player in a couple of years is going to be more point. Like a top 20 player. So, you know, if you start projecting forward to tie it into the depth chart stuff, you know, Dunn is someone who I think will be in college for at minimum 2 years. So if these changes start taking place in a couple of years, you know, a junior Dunn who was ranked, you know, top 80 is going to be, you know, almost like a top 25 McDonald's All-American as a junior if he continues to work hard and continues to progress as a player. So you have to think about that when you start talking about rankings. And then depth chart wise, you know, Andrew Playtech is graduating. You know, we're not sure exactly how they're going to deploy Kerwin Walton. I think I agree with Sean that he's probably, even though he's billed as a two guard, I think he's probably more of a three just because of some of, you know, the small deficiencies he has as far as athleticism and speed and those things. So you start looking at the backcourt and it's RJ Davis. And, you know, we all think he's going to be very good, but, you know, he can't do it by himself. He can't play 40 minutes a game. And then there's Anthony Harris, who we think is going to be good, but has a torn ACL in each of the last 2 years and nothing else, you know, moving forward. Because Leaky Black more than likely will probably stay on the wing. So they need bodies in the backcourt. They need people who can score. They need people who are dynamic and who could play along well with someone like RJ Davis or someone like Hunter Salas or someone like Sky Clark. So I think that's the value in Dunn, is that every coach we've talked to his AAU coach and we've talked to his high school coach, we've talked to people who watch him, and the first thing they say about him above all else is that he's super efficient. He doesn't need a ton of shots, that, you know, he can take six shots and have 15 points and have a great day, and that they have to sometimes ask him to be a little more aggressive because not that he blends in, but just he wants to make sure that he's not getting a good shot, that he's getting a great shot. And for, I think, the last couple of years, you know, Roy Williams always talks about recruiting guys who make shots versus shooters. And so he's going to have an opportunity to show that he is a guy who makes shots as opposed to just a shooter. So I think all that ties into it.
Coach Williams said a lot last year. I don't want shooters. I want makers. Right. So it sounds like DeMarco Dunn definitely falls into that category. Sean, you wanted to add on to that?
Yeah, and I think going back to kind of the weekly scoop that Sherrill did a few weeks ago on the wings, you know, when you're looking at UNC wings, they don't need a guy that can break a guy. You know, it's nice to be able to break a guy down off the dribble, but you need a guy who can run the floor, finish in transition, make an open shot on the perimeter, feed the post. And I think Dunn provides all that. And I think his skill set fits in perfectly with UNC's offense. And then kind of a few other things I mentioned earlier, just kind of the lift on his shot, which I liked. One thing that caught my attention back in the spring when I first watched him, and every time you see him more and more, you have a right-handed guard that is most comfortable going left.
Loves going left. I noticed that.
Whether it's taking it all the way to the basket and finishing with his left, or going around the pick and roll, only using his left hand, making a one-handed left-handed pass. So just to have that ability for a right-hander, I think is a plus. Now how that plays into it, I don't know. But once again, it's just something that he has in his pocket. And then, you know, I think another thing in terms of maybe a deficiency right now is some of the time I hear about his motor, which, you know, I saw it a little bit watching on, you know, off the ball on defense. Is he fully engaged? Maybe not, but if he's going to be playing at Carolina, he'll have to be engaged. So I think they'll be able to get that out of him. And once again, you put his length, and I don't know what his wingspan is, but it looks definitely like a good plus size wingspan, which, you know, whether it's on ball defense or off ball, I think will play into, you know, a steal rate, block rate, and him having an impact on the defensive end as well. So those are just a few other done notes and a few other reasons why I'm a little higher on him than I guess his ranking.
All right, guys, we've been sitting around for the last, what seems like ever, talking about waiting for dominoes to fall. Well, I've been waiting to drop this line. Now that it's a done deal, what's next for Roy Williams and the Tar Heels? What happens next? And Sherrill, I'll go to you first.
Well, there's another Carolina target who's set a commitment date, Sky Clark, who is a 2022/2021 guard. He is committing, he said, on October 22nd. It could happen before. So I would say on or before October 22nd, we'll kind of know at least what school Sky Clark is going to, even if we're not 100% sure about which class. So that's one to watch. And then, you know, Hunter Salas is obviously kind of the top guy as far as a lead guard candidate in 2021. And, you know, we put a note on the premium board. I guess it's been a few days, so we can go ahead and say it now. But he is more now trending towards a decision in the spring, which tells me that he really wants to get on campus and that he wants to evaluate a few things and that he doesn't 100% sure know where he wants to go. So that is not bad news for Carolina. I think our subscribers have kind of felt like it's bad news, but I don't particularly take it as that. I just think it's a guy who, you know, has a bunch of great options and he wants to be sure. So that's not imminent anymore. There's we're not looking for a commitment from him anytime soon. So I think it's they'll keep up on Salas and hopefully get them on campus whenever the moratorium ends. Sky Clark decision, and then you'll probably see a few more 2022 offers. And there's even a 2021 name that, if you are not a subscriber, check it out. It's on the premium board, who they've looked at recently. And, you know, we'll see if anything happens with that.
Sean, you got any suspicions that you want to add?
I think that, you know, once again, we've been kind of waiting for this to happen for a while, and it goes now. And two guys where they're not going to scare off, you know, these top 10, 15, five-star guys that UNC offered early. So once again, I think you've built kind of a strong foundation in this recruiting class with those two guys. It would be great to still add, you know, one or two more, but I think you're able to still swing for Salas, you know, Clark, if he reclasses, Baldwin, Jabari Smith, et cetera. and you have a guy that can play really the 2-3, a guy that can play the 4-3. So you have some those positions covered. And once again, if you're Solis, you're not really scared off by Dunn because you're ranked higher and you're more of a combo guard than a true shooting guard. And then same thing with Houston, who's more of a true three than kind of either a Styles or Dunn also. So that's a positive. In terms of what's next, you know, now I think it gets a lot of question marks. You know, will UNC offer other players? If so, who? You know, sure, I'll mention somebody they're looking at, but right now there's not a lot of offers out there in the 2021 class. I know they're looking at 2022 as well, but you know, where do those offers come from if they miss on a few of those guys? So I think that those questions are there. But once again, I think the main thing is they added a guy with some upside and now they have two players in the class. So I think that's a positive and we'll see if they can kind of hit a home run with any of the other guys.
All right. Well, listeners, viewers, you heard it here first. DeMarco Dunn making his commitment today to Roy Williams and the North Carolina Tar Heels. I want to give a special thanks to Sherelle McMillan and Sean Moran for joining us here on the Coast to Coast podcast. If you're not an Inside Carolina Premium subscriber, make that change for once in your life. Make it feel good. It's going to make a difference. Plus, you'll get all the great content that Inside Carolina is pumping out on a regular basis. And we want you to be able to hear the great stuff that we're putting out for you guys. So make sure you become a premium subscriber. Subscribe to all of our podcasts on however you're getting your podcasts, you know, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Tunes, iStore, whatever you call it today. But subscribe. Make sure you're getting all of our content. I want to give a special shout out to Johnny T-Shirt for sponsoring the show and a special shout out to John Siegley for producing. But for Sherelle McMillan, for Sean Moran, this has been the Coast to Coast podcast. I'm Joey Powell. We'll catch you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.